Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Matty Matt, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
You, man. How you doing with the COVID?
We're hanging in there.
Kids are all right?
Yeah, we're already talking on after this is over. We're just going to take a vacation. No kids. Just we're out for like a month.
Somebody
drop them off the grandparents' house.
I saw a post where someone said they're gonna do like a reverse quarantine. They're not coming home for 2 months.
Yeah.
Just going to disappear.
Yeah. I was just going to drive up to my parents' house, let the kids out, throw their bags out the window and go.
And haul. Yeah, well, they'll be glad to have them because they need something different, right?
Oh, yeah. We did a little Easter egg hunt, you know, for Easter, and we had them come over and they sat in their car and watched.
Oh,
it's like weird, isn't it?
It's so weird. And you've seen all the posts of kids' birthdays and people drive by and like hold up balloons and signs. It's like, it's a whole new world, man. It still feels really bizarre.
It does.
Yeah.
It does for sure.
Yeah. It's a really polarizing now because everybody has essentially the same data set, but they all like interpret it differently. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, it depends on who you are. You've got people that are all the way on one end of the spectrum where it's like wear a hazmat suit and other people are like, oh, it's nothing, you know? And it's like, obviously it's somewhere in between, but it's really funny to see people's behavior around how they feel, you know, and like, you got to feel the same way they feel.
Yeah.
I posted
sure.
something today. You remember the comedian George Carlin?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He said, it was just something along the lines of like, you know, as a driver, like anyone driving slower than you is an idiot and everybody driving faster than you is a maniac. I feel that way about like this right now.
Sense?
It's like, yeah, exactly. Like basically if you're not doing this, you know, cause like your way is the right way and everybody doing it that way is an idiot. And anybody doing it this way is a maniac, you know, cracks me up. It's a polarizing topic for sure.
For sure.
Well, hey man, let's talk about something that's not so polarizing today. That's one of my favorite subjects actually, because I think it's underutilized and it's like a secret superpower. It really is. And it's really body language, how to use body language and maybe just importantly is how to read body language, right? And if you look at unspoken language, right, the science behind it, it's around 80% of our overall communication. So if you're in the same space as someone else, 80% of your communication is nonverbal, 80%. So basically, if you think about that through the lens of like a coach, a trainer, or you to your team,
mm-hmm.
20% is all they're going to hear of what you say anyway. So it's sort of like, think about dogs, right? Like if you say something really horribly mean, your dog doesn't hear it. They hear the voice inflection. They read your body language probably better than we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting. It's a limbic response. So it's this sort of primal thing that we have in our body and it can't be changed and it can't be messed with. So it's like you can say all the great things you want, but if you're not doing everything else correctly, you're not communicating well at all.
Do some people have it better than others?
I think so. I think some people just intuitively are better at it. And some people maybe don't understand that they're emitting, you know, or basically communicating something that they're not. Maybe unwillingly, or maybe that's just really something that they're feeling that they don't know that they're communicating, right?
I think my wife's one of those.
Really? Yeah, exactly. Mine too. It's like, and believe me, I know just enough about this to be dangerous. And so, you know, I think I know what I'm doing, but you know, more than not, I'm probably missing a lot. But I think in the context of what we're going to talk about today and how to use it in a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
So essentially, a lot of this information is coming from a book called What Every Body Is Saying. And imagine splitting those two words up. So body is a standalone word. So What Every Body Is Saying. And the author, I think his name is Joe Navarro, but he was an FBI agent and he was an interrogator and he was one of like a nonviolent interrogator. And he was like the Michael Jordan of interrogations, whether it be terrorists or serial killers or whatever, because he was so good with nonverbals that he could interview someone in a friendly, unarming manner, pick up a few tells, swing back around, ask questions about those tells again later, maybe just notating that they showed signs of discomfort, right? And then basically, he, in a lot of cases, he could just talk them into telling him It was like a super telepathic power. Yeah, exactly. But he wrote this book, and basically a lot of the principles we're going to talk about come right out of his book today, right? And so back to discomfort as an example, through the lens of Navarro, there's basically only two types of body language that are manifested. One is comfort and one is discomfort. And its essentials, that's all that you can basically communicate is either comfort or discomfort in some way, shape, or form. And then we'll talk about different settings on how to do that. So yeah, man, you got some notes over there. Why don't you cue me? And I've got my own notes because there's a million and one things we could talk about. And we'll go from there.
Yeah. So we kind of have it broken down just kind of based on the body and your body language, how we're using it. So the first one is feet.
Yeah. People don't think about feet as being part of body language, but it's actually the most limbic of all of the body parts, meaning what you're doing with your feet is maybe a bigger tell than anything else. So if we think about that, think about this through the lens of sales as an example. So first of all, like how do you set up in a sales office to sell someone personal training or fitness services, right? You shouldn't have anything between the two of you, right? Mm-hmm. Partly because there's a barrier there, so it makes it feel less personal.
You're saying like shouldn't have a desk?
Yes, you shouldn't sit across a desk. And I think most people have been taught that at some point. If you've had any sales training, you know, you should sit, you know, face to face with someone or slightly off kilter. So maybe you're not so overly aggressive. If it's someone who's smaller in stature, you don't want to be like squared up to them, you know, because straight square on can also be a little bit aggressive. But also this gives you the opportunity to then view their feet. So what people will do is they'll communicate a lot of things with just what they're doing with their feet. And in a sense of sales or through the lens of sales, let's say that you're getting to the pricing structure for someone, right? And you get to the price and you say, like we would do, Matt, our most successful clients do this, you know, right. And you tell them how much it is. Right? This one is $350, whatever that is a month.
Yep.
And then they cross their feet and they turn them towards the door. So you would know, even if they didn't know, right? Even if they didn't feel it as strongly as you did, they just told you everything you need to know, right?
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. Well, basically, or like, hey, I'm looking to get out of here. That's too expensive, right?
Right.
And so sometimes they'll be like, yeah. And then you could literally just address it and say, yeah, you seem uncomfortable with the price. Is that the objection? Is it the amount? You know, what is it about that? And you could just go right at them, right? So it is a bit of a superpower. Same thing when you see, say that there's a group of people standing together, right? Mm-hmm. The people that have their feet closest to each other are probably the closest, certainly from a couple's perspective, right? You know, a lot of times you can tell, it sounds kind of weird, but you can tell like who a mom's, the researchers can tell who a mom's favorite child is, which is horrible, but like it may be just be at the moment, but like say that your wife's standing there with the three kids, it's like they might be able to tell at least at that point in time who her favorite was based on the orientation of who she was facing and where her feet were facing, right?
Jeez, this might give me information I don't want to know,
man. I know. Yeah, believe me, they're never pointed at you, that's for sure, right? Also, we use this from the lens of like coaching. So it depends on like if you and I are standing next to each other, right, and a third party walks up to us and we don't open our stance or our feet to point towards that person, that means that we don't want to talk to that person. And you think about this, like when you think about this practically, you're like, oh yeah, I've done that. Like you and I are talking, we're in a deep conversation. Maybe somebody we kind of know comes up and like, hey man, and you really want to finish your point. You're not going to open your hips up or turn your feet to face them because you want them to keep moving. So it's like a tell, even if you don't think it is, right? And so we coach it to our guys because we're coaching groups of 5-6 people, you know, 4 people, whatever that is. And there's always maybe that one client that, you know, asks a lot of questions, or maybe you're having an in-depth conversation with a couple of other clients and you don't want to be interrupted.
Right.
But just keep in mind that even though you don't realize what you're communicating and the person that you're communicating with, the other client that walks into the group, right, might not realize exactly what you're doing. You both are, you're putting it out and they're feeling it, whether they admit it or not, they're going to get a feeling of closed off. So in other words, if they don't open their stance to you, right, or you don't open your stance to them and bring them into the conversation, you're basically shutting them out. So it's really, really important. Yeah. And if you have a client that maybe is asked more questions on a particular day and you just don't feel like going there, you know, keep in mind, they're going to know in every way, shape or form.
So, well, I know you've been there. I mean, you've been trying to meet lots of people at one time, just for that example. I mean, you're trying to get away. So clearly you start turning your body moving the other way.
I had a great graphic for one of my talks I did on this, and it was a man and a woman and they were dressed in office wear and the woman was facing him, you know, and he had like 1 foot turned as if he was walking away. And I was jokingly saying, all right, this was a hookup last night at the office Christmas party. Who do you think's down to keep the relationship going? And which one do you think wants out? It's like, it's so obvious when you look at it, right? And so same thing, if you look at a couple sitting in the airport, right, and they have their feet crossed and way away from each other, right, mm-hmm. as if they're kind of maybe headed in different directions, even though they wouldn't admit it, it does say something about them. So again, I'm only dangerous enough to know a little bit, so I can sit in the airport and think, oh yeah, that couple's, they're
imagine,
not happy.
Imagine
they're
that happy. Navarro guy.
They're not happy. Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
I don't know how you'd go through the world, because it would be like having a superpower where you could hear what people think, you know, and that would be terrible, right? You would know who didn't like you, yeah. who didn't want to talk to you. It's
just,
like,
you should just play poker. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. And so as icky as some of these things are, it is really important for us to understand, like in the sales setting, okay, his or her feet are doing this. Okay. They're clearly uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, again, it's only comfort or discomfort. Right. And again, and from a coaching standpoint, definitely. And we'll even say, look, so if a client approaches, think about this when it's employee to employee, right? Or team mm-hmm. member to team member, it's even worse. So you and I are like, hey, real quick, blah, 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 blah. And a client walks up, right? It's like, well, you need to turn your stance, yeah. at least open one foot towards them to welcome them in. Mm-hmm. Because even if you just peer over your shoulder, but you keep your feet facing away and your hips closed off, you're telling them that you don't want to talk to them, right? And yep. you could be like, oh, hey, but if you're, it doesn't matter. Remember, it's 80%. So you could say all the friendly things you want, but if you don't open up to them, right. you know, you're telling them everything they need to know.
They're hoping their system is not working well.
Yeah, and there's other, yeah, exactly. Hopefully they don't read any body language at all. You know, other things are like flirtatious things. Like if you see, say there's a couple there and maybe, you know, one of them is, you know, pointing their feet, or maybe if it's a female with high heels or a male, whatever, and they're like dangling the heel off of their foot, you know, flipping their foot around, that's pretty strong body language. I mean, there's some stuff that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I get that feet. All the time.
Yeah, right? In the gym, people yeah. with heels, yeah. Well, what was his name?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, so feet. So pay attention to feet through the lens of the gym, certainly in a sales setting, and then definitely from a coaching perspective, like open up to your clients.
Yeah, cool. All right, moving up. Legs.
Yeah, legs are interesting. So the discomfort with legs is typically rubbing of the thighs. So how many times have you sat down with someone and they're really, this is typically a pretty uncomfortable situation. Like someone's lying, you know, and they're rubbing their thighs mm-hmm. and you see like, you know, police investigations and someone's sitting in the corner and they're rubbing their thighs as yes. they talk. That's a clear sign of discomfort, right? So we typically aren't going to see that. I mean, again, if you were in a sales setting or maybe you're talking to someone about goals, right? And yeah. they start telling you about their fat loss journey and how bad they feel, you know, they will probably run their hands up their thighs, something like that. But in that setting, you probably are ready for mm-hmm. that type of language, right? But I think for legs, it's more of stance, right? And so there's different ways that you can watch the way that people stand. And so one of them is legs crossed. So legs crossed, if you think about having your legs crossed, you're actually less stable, right? So if I'm standing there, I'm really standing on one leg with mm-hmm. one leg crossed, essentially, right? Yeah. And so what you'll notice is people will stand like that when they're really comfortable. So let's say you're standing, and again, in a group of clients, or you're talking to someone and they've got this cross leg stance. That means they're really comfortable with you. They're not threatened at all. Because, you know, again, it sounds silly, but they're not as stable. So you could theoretically knock them over, right? And again, this stuff is limbic, so it's very animalistic. So legs crossed is really important. And then a power stance would be like a wide legs. And who do you think of that stands there with like wide legs? You think military, cops, yep. right? That type of thing. That's a power stance. What's interesting about it is if sometimes you'll be observing a group of people, and let's say that someone's standing with their legs crossed, right? And someone enters their space that they're not comfortable with, they will uncross their legs Oof. And take a wide stance. Yeah. So picture like getting onto an elevator and someone's standing against the side of the elevator on their phone and their feet are crossed and you step in and you're like a guy with a bigger stature, you'll typically see that other male or female, they'll uncross their legs and take a wider stance, right? So they're taking more of a power stance. Now, from a coaching standpoint, if you have a smaller stature out on the floor, a wide leg stance can make you appear more in control, mm-hmm. more powerful. So especially if you're coaching a group and you're a 5'1" male or female that's very slightly built, it's like, all right, you're going to need to take more of a power stance. So get those legs out wide, right? And show that you're taking up more space, literally, right?
Yep.
And that's a big deal. So thighs aren't as big a deal, right, as feet. But I would say the only discomfort you see is really rubbing of the thighs, which is super obvious. It's very uncomfortable. And then really pay attention to your stance. And again, if you're standing in a group of people and someone's standing there with their legs crossed and you walk up and they uncross them, whether it's your stature or they don't know you or whatever, that just means they're going from comfortable to less comfortable. Yeah. Right.
Well, from a coach's side, you don't want to put that, be that powerful stance and make your clients uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It depends, right? It depends. If you're big in stature, like if you're a big, say you're a 6'4", 250-pound guy, standing in with your legs all splayed out, like you own the space, can be very, very intimidating.
It probably depends on, you know, culture and fit and all that, or where you are. But
well, and I mean, it definitely depends on culture. Like we're talking about this through our lens, which is in the U.S., right? I mean, if you look at maybe Latin American cultures, they're going to be closer talkers.
Yeah.
And it depends on where you're from as well. If you're from New York City, you're probably going to be comfortable closer to people than you would be if you're from Montana, right? Because you grew up with a lot more personal space. So a lot of that's dependent, but some of these things are universal. And certainly as we look through them through the lens of coaching and personal training.
For sure. All right. You ready for number three?
So ready.
Hips don't lie.
Yeah, that's right. Shakira said that, right?
Absolutely.
Well, hips are definitely reproductive, right? You're basically telling people, hey, I'm down, right? I can make babies. This is kind of what you're saying. And so, you know, it's also kind of a vulnerable spot. So you get one way or the other. So if you think of some styles, if you will, or like, you know, bare midriff is like, ooh, you know, that's kind of in that area. So there's a lot that you're communicating with something like that about your fertility, in other words, right? And you typically are going to see that in younger people, whether it be the way that their body is structured at that age, or maybe it's legitimately based on the fact that they're unknowingly advertising that they're fertile, right? And they could reproduce.
She's fertile.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that fertile girl with that belly button ring. That's interesting. Look at that fertile guy with that tramp stamp, you know? Fertile guy. Well, and you look at all dancing, right? You've got like twerking. And I mean, all that stuff is super sexual in nature, if you think about it, right? And so it's like, all right, that's really what the hips do. And sometimes even ornamental, right? Like wearing a belly button ring or like a big belt buckle or something like that, you know? So let me think about like those country line dances seem pretty tame till grandma pulls out that belt buckle and you're like, she's telling you everything you need to know.
Oh my God.
She's not fertile, but she could be. She wants you to think she is. So watch yourself, Matt. Watch out. Another thing, it's also, I mean, think about it. If it's a reproductive area, it's also very vulnerable. So one interesting tell is what they call lap blocking, right? So think about it this way. Like if you are a female, or if you're a guy that ever tried to approach a female and, you know, start a conversation like as singles or whatever, if someone is to grab, let's just say again, in the States, a female grabs her purse and covers her lap with it, right? Lap blocking is a clear sign that they are not down to communicate with you at all. So if any single guys listen to this and you're, when the COVID clears and you're out at a bar trying to pick somebody up and they pick up their purse and put it in their lap, you better just move on. You're dead in the water, right? You better just keep on moving. So, but think about that through the lens of sales as an example, right? So if you're sitting in the office with someone and you're talking about pricing and it's sort of, you're wrapping up the session and they grab their sweatshirt or whatever and they pull it into their lap, again, it's a defensive stance and it's showing discomfort of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind for sure that, you know, lap blocking in the sales setting, no doubt.
I feel like there's going to be people calling you to help them with their dating now.
Yeah. Call me. I've got plenty of time right now, so I can help you with anything that you want, including
you're dating. You're going to be like Will Smith in that movie. What was that movie?
Oh, Hitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna be Hitch. We always talk about that because Anthony says he's like Hitch for me. He doesn't want me to dance. Remember how, what was it? Kevin, what's his name?
Yeah. We don't need pizza.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically me, right? All right. What we got next?
Torso.
Yeah, torso is, there's not a lot of movement in your torso really, but it's very, this one's definitely ornamental. If you look at some tribes around the world, that's where they'll hang necklaces, things like that. So super ornamental. It can show status, you know, can show things like that. So if you've got somebody that's wearing a lot of neck jewelry or whatever, they're probably more image conscious maybe than someone that's not, that type of thing. So again, torso is not a big one, but again, it's more ornamental. So you might be able to judge how, sounds kind of bad, but how materialistic someone is, right? Or if there's something of great importance, if they're wearing something simple that's symbolic, it's really important to them because they're displaying it in an area of the body that's in clear view.
That's probably definitely a cultural one.
It is. I mean, if you think about some tribes, you know, some African tribes with the necklaces, or if you look at, you know, Papua New Guinea and you're stretching your neck, and I mean, there's all kinds of ways to look at this, right?
Yeah.
But typically it's very ornamental and it's just something to pay attention to. Again, you can be a little judgy here if you're not careful. So torso's not that impactful, I would say, to this conversation.
All right, moving to the next one, arms.
Yeah, arms are maybe one of the most important as far as we're concerned. So, you know, arms are super limbic. So they've done studies that show that blind people when Victorious will do the same thing that people with sight have. So what would that be, Matt? If you and I ran a 100-yard race and you beat me, yeah, you're going to put your arms in the air, yeah, right? Like in the victory, the V, right? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Everybody that scores a goal or makes or kicks a field goal or scores a touchdown or arms in the air, right? Shit, it's the symbol for touchdown, you know, if we're American football. And so what's interesting is people without sight that have never been told to do that do the same thing.
That's awesome.
They throw their arms in the air. Yeah. So, you know, you need to use your arms to communicate, but there's a lot of don't do's with arms as far as personal trainers are concerned. So if you look at the bugaboos that we talk about, right, and it's the one I see the most of all, which is arms crossed. Mm-hmm. That's a huge no-no, because if you and I are having a conversation and my arms are crossed, what am I telling you essentially?
You don't really want to listen to me. You don't care.
I don't. I'm closed off, right? So either I don't like what you're saying or I don't want to be talking to you.
Yep.
And I think I see this one the most with coaches. They're standing out on the floor with their arms crossed. And no matter what's coming out of your mouth that's motivational about form cues or you're doing great or whatever, remember 80% of what you're saying is telling this person, I don't want to talk to you. If I have to hear one more story about your kids, I'm going to light myself on fire, mm-hmm, right? That's what you're saying without saying it. And so this is a big one.
So if your arms are crossed, we are in trouble.
Yeah, we're all going down. I hate everyone in the company. Yeah, I just don't do it. What's funny is you rarely, if ever, catch our guys doing it. And we have some irritating yet effective coaching cues that we've used in the past when we first started coaching body language, which, by the way, you guys, I get this question a lot. Do you guys coach this? And the answer is yes, we do. Absolutely. So if we get a new intern or something and they're standing out there with their arms crossed, we'll go straight over and be like, you can't stand like that. Like you're telling everybody in this room that you're uninterested or you're blocked off or you're closed mm-hmm. off, right? So get your arms, you know, uncross your arms. And so I think we see this one the most. It's probably the most offensive, right, of yeah. all the body languages. And we have some cues at the gym. So what we'll say to someone, because I've heard people say, well, I'm cold. It's like, well, put on a jacket because you can't stand like that. I don't care, right? So, you know, what we'll say to that is like, hey, are you cold? You know, and mm-hmm. people are like, oh, and we had to do that a lot at first just to get people out of the habit because it's a nice place to rest your arms. I get it. There's some things, but keep in mind, 80% of what you're communicating is saying, hey, I don't care. And I don't want to talk to you guys. So if you're a coach, quit doing it. And if you own a business, coach your guys out of doing it. And you need to explain why and what that really means. Right. So first of all, it's that. Next is what we call standing akimbo. Now that is like hands on hips, right? So that's would be your arms like boom.
Yeah.
Yep. So imagine your feet are out wide and your hands are on your hips. That's the ultimate power stance if you think about it, right? So if you think about, you talked about military, police, things mm-hmm. like that, that's the way to stand if you want to have you're taking up the most possible space that you can. And you're basically saying, this is my space now. In the book, the author talks about how when they're coaching like SWAT teams and or policemen to go to a domestic call, don't stand like that in someone's doorway or inside their home. Because what you're basically telling them without telling them, 80% of what you're saying is yeah. this is my space now, I'm here, right? Yeah. And it's offensive. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, this is my house. And then you're automatically putting everyone on edge by standing in that stance. So I would say as a coach, it's actually a great stance, again, for someone with a smaller stature, right? So if you're a small coach, stand akimbo. Like that's a great way to own your space and own the room, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a big person, right? Big, strong, scary, and you're training clients that are older or maybe not as fit, do not stand like that because it's just intimidating, right? So don't put hands on hips and get your feet out really wide. So when we start talking about this, everyone starts laughing. It's like the Ricky Bobby thing. Like, what do I do with my hands? Oh, right? No one wants it to do with their arms. So after I coached everyone on what not to do in our meeting, I said, all right, everybody stand up. Like, all right, let's everyone do what you would do if you had to eliminate the things that we had talked about. Right? And everybody, like half the group crossed their hands behind their back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right.
And like, how about this? I'm like, that's actually more offensive, right?
Yeah.
Than having your hands crossed in front of you. Why? Because you're hiding your hands, which there's some trust issues there, right? Yeah. It's very offensive and it's super uppity. I mean, imagine hands behind your back, you know, interlocked with your feet wide. That's definitely military yeah, stance, right? One, yep. That's like, I'm guarding this door. You can't get in kind mm-hmm. of stance, right? Or you think about maybe the king and queen of England strolling the garden, like I'm better than you, right? So it has this holier than thou type of feeling to it. So don't walk around with your arms behind your back either. Plus it looks sketchy and you're hiding your hands, right? You think about this going back to like, what's in my hands? Is it a weapon? Like, you know, I'm not going to stab my clients in the neck, but if you take this back to older times, right? And it's a limbic response. Seeing someone's hands is really important, right? I think the salute for the British Army was like palm out, right? Yeah, I want to see what you got in your palm, right? Like you, I don't want you hiding anything. So definitely no hands behind the back, no arms crossed. And then the last one we use is hands in pockets. And this can just make you look way too casual, right? So if you stuff your hands in your pockets, it's one of our cues not to do it because it just makes you look bored, right? Yeah. And so code word for that was like, hey, you need to borrow some money. So it was like, hey, you cold, need to borrow some money. And the other ones were like leaning on machines and stuff, but those were more obvious. These are just things that you would do if you were just standing in space. Yeah, exactly.
So what do you do with your hands, man?
Anything you want, really. I mean, why don't you should coach and be expressive with your hands, really. Well, let's move to hands. So that was arms, but let's move to hands next, right? So this isn't maybe as applicable out on the floor because you should be coaching. If you find yourself standing around in the middle of the room, wondering what to do with your hands,
right?
That means you're not really coaching, right? Because you can be giving visual cues. You can be showing someone how to do it, like visual cues, or you could be touching, or you can be, there's a million and one things to do with your hands if you're actually coaching and moving around the room.
Right.
Like we always found that our coaches had no trouble with body language when they were coaching small group personal training.
Yeah.
They struggle with it in team training if the clock was running and they were kind of moving around, right? And they really struggle with it in one-on-one. Because one-on-one could get slow and somebody would start a conversation and maybe they weren't interested in it. And you'd see the arms go crossed. I'm like, oh no, this is coming off the rails. Yep.
Yeah. Team, you got to kind of force yourself to
You got to bring the energy and be clapping and, you know, that's a whole different thing.
One-on-one too. You see some bad, bad.
Yeah. That's one. I mean, I see like trainers eating. I see them on their phone. I see them on the floor rolling around with people. It's like, man, you know, I know it's hard to do back-to-back-to-back one-on-one sessions, but that's kind of your job. And so this stuff is uber important, right, for you to learn. So one stance, if you're sitting at in a business meeting or, you know, perhaps you're in a sales session with someone who knows a lot, so sit down with a client who's been training a lot and they're kind of a know-it-all, if you will.
Yeah.
That's probably a derogatory term, but you know what I mean, right? Somebody who has a lot of knowledge or thinks that they do. Steepling is a really good hand gesture. And steepling would be, for those of you guys that aren't visually watching this, it's just sort of your fingers up, you know. So imagine touching your thumbs and fingertips together and you're steepling in the air.
Yeah. Sounds like a mastermind or something.
It does. I mean, I used to be in a Vistage group, right?
Yeah.
And I would look around the table and there was one guy in our group that was unemployed at the time. And he was still in the group, you know, but he was looking for jobs and he was kind of down. I could tell he was just down personally when you talked to him. He was like, oh man, this sucks, you know? So I look around the room and these are all entrepreneurs, right? These are all alphas all the way around. And everyone's got their arms splayed out. They're taking up as much space as they can, right? They're all like, they have their hands either like braced on their lap or up on the table and they're all steepling. And, you know, it's like, these are all power stances, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
And the one guy in the room that I already know is struggling, has his hands hidden under the table. You know, he's taking up very little space, you know, doesn't have his legs crossed. So he's like the one guy that if I just took a snapshot, I'd be like, that's the guy that's struggling right now. And it was true. Right. So it does, all your emotions end up coming out, you know, in all these type of ways in your body language. So steepling is good. Your thumbs are important. So when we talked about earlier, hands in pockets, if you look at, there's two ways to look at like hands in pockets. If someone has just their fingers in their pocket, but their thumb out, right?
Yeah.
Rock out with your thumb out, right? If you do that, that means that you can be casually confident. So say you're giving a presentation. It's okay to slide your hand in your pocket. Maybe you've got the clicker in the other hand and you're being very expressive, right? But keep your thumb out. It's pretty powerful, actually. So here's an example of that. They've got videos in this book, and when you study body language of people, they're standing around in a group of peers, and there's maybe one or two people that have their hands in their pocket and they have their thumbs out, right?
Yep.
And a superior walks up. And immediately everyone will stuff the entire hand down in their pocket.
Wow.
So it goes from being like casual chilling, right? To like insecure, all hands in pockets, right? Immediately. And it's only comfort or discomfort. So why are they doing it? Maybe I don't like this person, right? Maybe they're not scared of them. I'm just saying maybe I don't like them, right? Maybe I don't like somebody telling them what to do, whatever that is. So if you're going to slide your hand in the top of your pocket, which isn't really applicable in the coaching floor, but maybe if you're just giving a presentation to your community or something, that's fine, but make sure you keep your thumb out of your pocket or else you're going to look like closed off and really insecure. Like what's in your pocket? You know, you got money in there? What is that?
I remember when you went over these with us, with the team, you know, many, many, many years ago.
Yep.
I think everybody was scared to death of you for like a week.
Yeah. Every time I would come in, people would just stand there frozen with their arms in the air. Like they didn't know what to do. I'm like, no, not that. No, not that. And then also like what you do with your hands, there's some discomfort signs that are really, really obvious. One being touching your neck as a guy. So imagine, you know, me sitting there with you, Matt, and I start asking you really hard questions and you're in a police investigation or something and you start rubbing your neck, right? And I know the guys can't see me. It's like I've got my hand kind of around the back of my neck. Picture someone who takes a penalty kick in a soccer game and misses it, and they throw both hands where?
Yeah, right around the neck.
Right around the back of the neck, like, gah! You know, it's so uncomfortable, right? So touching of the neck. Now, how does this manifest itself in the gym? Well, if you're sitting down with a client, you're asking them about eating habits, or you're talking about memberships or anything that maybe is uncomfortable, it's an uncomfortable conversation. Touching of the neck is a really, really high sign of discomfort, right? Okay. So if somebody's angry with you or whatever, touching of the neck is a big deal. So just that's something to look out for. Now, the female version often is covering what you call, I think it's called your inguinal notch. I'm not sure. It's basically you have a small notch right here at the top of your chest, sort of this little hole between your neck and your chest, right? So you think about like telling someone something and they go, oh my gosh, and they reach up and cover that spot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You can watch two females having a really serious conversation and you can tell it's serious just based on lots of things. So maybe one of them has their arms crossed, right? And they go literally from arms crossed to covering to back to arms crossed to, oh my God, back to cover. He did not say that. He did, you know, back and forth and back and forth. So again, these are typically really extreme signs of discomfort, but definitely something to look for. I mean, let's say you saw two clients having a conversation in the corner and one of them was like, oh, and like covered. I mean, she probably told her something that's very uncomfortable, right? Not maybe to her, but maybe that person's telling them something that happened or something shocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just things to be aware of that you can look around and see.
Yeah, I mean, these things are great. Just being aware, you see on the floor and you can kind of tell when they walk in, maybe they are not feeling great or they're down. I mean, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you don't have to be amazing at it, right? But you just need to be good enough to recognize it through the lens of fitness. I mean, I like to think I know way more. Like I said, about the airport, like that couple hates each other. They're actually really happy. Look at that body language.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm assessing everyone and I just know enough to be dangerous, right? So last, we'll move on to head face, right? Is that it?
Yeah, head face.
Head and face. So everyone thinks it's always face. Like everyone's like, man, that guy looked to the left and he winked his eye and he's lying. And actually, the face is the easiest thing to disguise. Feet are the hardest, right? So to go back to, you know, the feet, in this book, this Joe Navarro was talking about, they were doing interviewing someone for a serial killer case. And he had raped and murdered, you know, girls, basically young girls, horrible things. And he was asking him to recant a story, retell a story. He's like, all right, now what happened again? Cause it was like on an Indian reservation. Like what happened on this, you know? And he's like, well, I walked to the end of the cornfield and then I made a left and I went back to my house. And he was asking him for specifics, but when he would say left, he would like move his right foot and his right finger. Right. And so he would just notate, okay, that was weird. Cause why would you move right if you were going left? Right. Cause it happened in another area on the property that would have been right. And so he would just circle back to that later and then circle back to that later. And basically he just made the guy so nervous. The guy just told him.
Oh my gosh.
I know. But I mean, it says something about paying attention, you know, and this goes back to maybe even listening in a lot of ways with clients. It's like, listen, if you really focus on the person that's talking to you, you can tell a lot, right? And if you're really listening and not waiting for your turn to say what you wanted to say, you might actually learn a thing or two. And maybe what they're saying isn't exactly what they mean, right? And so just being more aware of it can make you 100 times better communicator is all that we're talking about. So,
absolutely.
So back to the head and face. One powerful, a very limbic and powerful body language for your head is just to tilt your head, right? Because it shows interest. Yeah. So this is really good in a sales setting, right? Because we always tell people like whoever's talking is losing in a sales setting. Ask for the sale, be quiet, let them ask questions or talk their way through it, right? Well, if you ever want to encourage people to tell you more, just turn your head a little bit like you're curious, right? A turn and a little nod, like you just did to me. We do it to each other on this podcast all the time. I turn like, oh yeah, that's interesting. That tells them, hey, keep talking. Tell me more.
You're not listening.
Tell me more. I'm not. But I appreciate it when you do it to me because I'm reading your body language. But yeah, it's very powerful. And this is how you coach your clients around this. It's like, all right, listen, if somebody comes over to you, even if you're in a hurry to run in the back and grab a quick bite to eat before your next session or whatever, open your feet to them. Show them that you're open. You don't have to square off right against them because that could be offensive, but at least be somewhat open to them, right? And then try tilting your head a little bit and just nodding. Sometimes people come over and they're upset about something. Like, you know, I did this thing and you were telling me this and I ate all this stuff. I didn't even lose any weight. If you just like tilt your head a little bit, smile and nod, right? Sometimes they can talk their, but you know, I mean, I know I didn't do everything I was supposed to do, but I'm just saying it's really frustrating. And you just nodding and smiling like, right. You know, yeah, I understand.
Let them get it out.
Yeah, let talk it all out. And they'll talk it all the way out and say, thanks a lot. Great talk. You didn't say a word. You're like, yeah, good to see you. I'll see you next Thursday, right? That type of thing. And the example that we use, like dogs do this, right?
Yeah.
So dog, like think about your dog. If they hear a noise they don't understand, you know, like I'll play like dog noises on my Sonos system at home and my dog's just like, what? You know, turning its head the whole time, curious. If you don't think this is powerful, the example we always use is try doing this when someone gets on the elevator, that's a stranger. So you're on the elevator, a stranger gets in, smile and tilt your head while smiling at them. They will turn and go straight off the elevator. Right, exactly. So it's very personal. It's very powerful, right? And so use it and teach your coaches how to communicate. So I'm always really proud when I come in and I see a coach and they're facing someone and they've got great language and the head's tilting and they're nodding. They probably are truly engaged to be able to do that. But if they're not, they're telling the customer they're 100% engaged and on board, right?
Yeah.
It's great. So it's a great thing to do. It's great for dating as well. It's like you want to show, you know, people always enjoy meeting someone that asks lots of questions about them and is very interested in them. Mm-hmm. One way to indicate that you're interested is tilt your head, nod, smile.
You know? Yeah, I just go right into a power stance.
Right? Standing akimbo. Hands behind back, I'm better than you. Yeah. That's what you do. I mean, there's some obvious ones like a furrowed brow, but those are typically like, it's almost like an over actor, like over animated, like, you know,
as we say in the face, you can manipulate that quite a bit.
You can. So, you know, that's a poker face is a real thing. Like people that understand body language or that are really good liars, you aren't going to be able to tell by looking at their face. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, their tells are going to be in areas that they wouldn't expect. Right. One universal sign of discomfort is pursing of the lips. Right. So this would be like, again, if you're not watching, it's like you almost suck your lips into your mouth. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You're running through the, you know, you, Matt, you have young kids, so you're trying not to swear too much in front of them. You're running to catch the, you know, your cell phone and you clank your little toe on the coffee table. You know, you're going to be like, and you're going to squeeze your lips together, right? Well, this one's funny because I do this to my wife all the time. Like I'll come through and she'll be in the kitchen and we'll be having a conversation. And then she'll be like pursing her lips afterwards. I'm like, are you mad? She's like, no. I'm like, well, why are you pursing your lips? She's like, would you stop with this?
They love that question, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you mad?
Are you mad?
Are you mad?
Are you sure? Because you're pursing your lips and your body language looks like you're really mad. She's like, if you read one more book about body language, I'm going to murder you in your sleep. I'm like, I knew you were mad. I knew you were. Yeah, so that's about it. We worked our way from your feet, you guys, all the way to the head. And I would just ask, like, pick up the book. Again, What Everybody Knows.
Yeah.
And study it and teach it to your team. It's a lot of fun, man. The exercises around it are fun. It's always a popular topic when I talk to groups about it because it's like something you can use in your dating life, in your personal life, in your business life. I mean, think about using it in a business negotiation at a table, right? You can tell who's uncomfortable. Imagine this guy, Joe Navarro, in his retirement was brought in to negotiate this huge business deal. And all he was doing was observing. And so when they would get to this one sticking point in the contract, in this long, lengthy contract, the body language of the person on the other end of the table would change every time. And so they would take a break and he would say, they're most uncomfortable about this. And they would go back to that and back to that and back to that till they could actually make a deal. And this is like tens of millions of dollars. So it's really something if you know how to do it, right? So
it's like, it is superhero power, man.
It is. It really is a superpower, but you got to nail it. And again, for the lens of fitness, it's pretty easy, but I would say start there. And if you're really into it, dig in even more.
Awesome, man. Great stuff.
All right, buddy. Good talking.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.